podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Friends, family and loved ones, I bet you haven't purchased a Father's Day gift yet, have you? Not to fear, the leaders in Below the Waist Grooming are here. I'm talking about our friends at Manscaped. They're saving the day yet again with the total package for the father figure in your life this year. It's time to upgrade his game from waist to face with this exclusive offer. Have him join the 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get 20% off and free shipping with the code SPURS20. Inside this package, he'll find the Essential Lawnmower 4.0, waterproof cordless body trimmer and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out his grooming routine. Their trimmer features a ceramic blade designed to cut hair on loose skin and to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 is a game changer for trimming in sensitive areas. No one likes nose hair, so their package also comes with the Weed Whacker 2.0 nose and ear hair trimmer. It's the perfect Father's Day gift and a gift you'll actually use. It also comes with a Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold his goodies. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SPURS20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code SPURS20. Make this Father's Day one he won't forget with Manscaped. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Spurs Show. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Three great guests look back at the wretched results against Brentford. We'll look forward to the last bloody game of the season against Leeds. Not much on it for us, but lots on it for our rivals, dirty Leeds. It'll still be lovely to send them down next week. Joining me tonight, two people from the sport marketing business, and I'm sure we'll talk about Tottenham as a brand as well. Anthony Marcoux returns. How are you, Anthony?
Yeah, not too bad. Got to keep spirits up in these austere times, footballing-wise.
I know, but nice to see you again. Sean Singleton returns. How are you, Sean?
Not too bad, Mike. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. And returning after a while now, lovely to have him back, star of stage and screen, TV funny man, Mr. Paul Whitehouse. How are you, Paul?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Mike. And that, of course, that introduction there is absolutely correct.
It is absolutely correct. Absolutely there. Are you filming? Are you doing some more of the fishing show at the moment?
Well, I'm supposed to be filming with Bob at the moment, but I've finished Only Fools and Horses now.
Yes, because that was a long old stint. That was a stop start as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we had COVID in the middle of it. Yeah. I just blow my own trumpet briefly, not really my trumpet, just as a little nod to all the cast and everyone, you know, who contributed to it. It was the longest running show at the Theatre Royal Haymarket. Wow. So, you know, we're very proud of that, Mike. And next year we're going to take it on the road and back into town as well for a little while. But, you know, it's a funny old world because COVID came along, the cost of living crisis. Never mind Spurs, I'm not interested in them. Let's talk about me, right? And the West End. You know, it did pull the rug from under so many shows, you know. Yeah. So we clung on and we sort of went out on a high, sold out, and I was going to finish then anyway. Mm. So, you know, we sort of made the decision to go, right, let's go out while we're on top, as it were, you know?
Yeah. It's always difficult with theatre because you do create this little family, especially during those times. So it's quite weird when you just then sort of see her, you know, like next job. It's nice that you're going back. It's quite weird, isn't it?
It is. It's true. I went back, you know, the day after and they gutted it already, you know.
Wow.
Gone, no more Peckham in the market, you know. But yeah, it was a joy. It really was. It was great fun. You moved, of course, as far away from Peckham as you could possibly get, so you didn't come
too right. Too right.
I took my old man to see it, Paul. Unfortunately, I think you were ill that day, so you weren't there. But he's an 86-year-old Irish guy. Loves Only Fools and Horses. I've never seen him laugh as much in my whole life.
I'm really sorry. I wasn't there, Sean. Truly, I am, because I've really tried not to have any time. I honestly, this is absolutely true. I even broke a vertebra and I went in that night.
Wow.
Ouch. Because I was so guilty at having taken some time off, I thought I can't do it again.
Do you still get the thing in the theatre? You know, you had some
great cast, don't get me wrong, but you're the kind of the name in that thing. Do you still get that thing when they go, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, well, that's how they say, ladies and gentlemen, the role of Sans we played by, do you still get the groan? Oh, no.
Yeah, I'll get that when I'm on.
You must have been awful. You're waiting to go on here and groan. It's like the Davison Sanchez of the West End. Awful, isn't it?
Anyway, look, have we prevaricated, procrastinated for long enough? We have to get on to the matter in hand, don't we?
I suppose we've got to talk about Tottenham. Defeat, the last home game of the season is never nice. After a good start against Brentford, we lost 3-1. And my abiding memory of the game, Sean, is going to be the bit like a sort of, I don't know, Soviet Russia turning the speakers up. So you drown out the booing. The music went up. It was unbelievable, wasn't it? It's so blatant.
I went to we'd pre-organized to have a wake for the season straight after the game. Right. So I didn't hear that. So it was really packed. But in some ways, that match, one, it summed up the season in one game. Started so well. And ended, got worse and worse. And then obviously the only shining light is Harry Kane.
Yeah.
And also it showed the difference between a well-run club, albeit with much smaller resources than Spurs, you know, smart recruitment, a plan philosophy, like a strategy, the real connection between the fans and the club and the players, mm-hmm. Compared to the shambles that we are on and off the pitch. It was just unbelievable, really.
Yeah, it was. It's... We've been resigned to this season for a while since the Milan defeat, the Sheffield United, and the Cup defeat. And, you know, everyone obviously still wish Ryan Mason the best. And I hope he stays in the club. But it's sort of, it's a big old job, Tottenham, isn't it? It's a big old job and there's a big rebuilding. We'll talk about the big rumours coming through today. Anthony, putting your sort of work hat on, you know, you work with brands, you know, it's such a mess, isn't it? The way things are being run. Are we a bit of a laughing stock at the moment in the industry?
I don't know, but I mean, we're this well-run club in inverted commas, and I'm going to, if I get a pound for everyone who says the training ground and the stadium, it's going to drive me nuts. It is brilliant. I get it. I love going there. It's really good. But ultimately, you know, I've been watching what we've been served up for the last 3 years has been turgid, right? Mm. And I am an optimist. I really, really am. But I can't justify it anymore. I'm literally watching it going, and the turning point for me to go backwards was the Brighton game. Watching Brighton play some absolutely beautiful stuff, and just thinking, why can't we play like that? You know, really summed it up. That for me was the big change. And when someone asked me, what do we do? I just don't know. I really, really don't know. But to take what Sean said, we need a really, really good manager, someone who wants to be there and is prepared to be in there for the long haul, because people talk about that Chelsea job and don't. I don't want to talk about Poch going there. It still just really upsets me. But I just think this is a huge, huge task. And it's not one season. It's not two seasons. I think this is a three-year job to get it right. I was just looking at the players on loan. Look at the players on loan.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Whoever manages us needs to have a good look at those before we even think about signing anyone. Make decisions on those, and then we can start to build again. But look, the club's a well-run club. I do think that the football inside is an absolute basket case. And you know, until we get a manager in who can just do the basics, I fear that we could be going backwards before we go forwards. But we need to appoint someone, be it Schlott, be it whoever, we need to do it quick. Mm. Otherwise, it's going to be backwards, not forwards.
Paul, you've been going a long time and, you know, as you see outside the West End quite a lot. You know, and I know obviously you do work and obviously doing the show you've been doing the West End, obviously you can go less. But you even, I mean, do you even want to go there at the moment? It's not even, yeah, this well, is no, my, no fun, well, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, I went on Saturday, I went to the Brentford game. And I'll tell you, I'll give you the background. So, obviously, it was the early kickoff. So, I was aiming to get there for about an hour before, have something to eat. I was taking my daughter and a little mate from next door. I managed to get a ticket for for him, spare.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got a cab, right? We left at 11:15.
Mm-hmm.
It was gridlock around here because two roads were closed after an accident. So we got there 20 minutes late, having set off an hour of recording. Oh, 20 minutes late, we got out of the cab. Edward, the kid from next door, puked. That was his reaction on arriving at the game. We missed the goal, obviously. There was no food left. I've never been 20 minutes late for a game. I watched us lose 3-1. We might be saying goodbye to Harry Kane. And guess what? That was my birthday.
No. Oh, no.
So, I mean, that sums it all up, doesn't it? And I'm taking these two kids to try and give them a treat. And they gave them little flags. And it was like, you know, I mean, this is our last game of the season after a crap season. You expect, you know, Lucas Moura, she's practically in tears, my daughter, because Lucas is off. And we get served up that. And you just go, blimey, what are we doing? You know, this is Spurs. I mean, it was boring and crap, wasn't it?
All I would say, though, guys, is that, let's be honest, one trophy in whatever 20 years, we haven't been going for the glory for a while. Right.
No.
And I think
big final, though, you know, a bit of glory under Potts, wasn't there?
Yeah. Well, that was beautiful. No. That era was just wonderful.
Wasn't it? But now you look at that side and you think, blimey, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, you know, that those two at the back, you know.
But that was the question I was asking myself after the game, in trying to make myself feel better about it. Are we, if you look at where we were under Sherwood, I feel similar. Like at the end, I feel but actually, it was actually, you know, 6 months later, we could see a plan coming together and Poch started to turn it round. And I think, ultimately, Harry aside, we hadn't seen the emergence of Harry at that point.
Mm.
Have we fundamentally got better players at the moment? No, that's the it. That's what worries me.
If you take Kane and Son out that side.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
you really can't really give much for any of the others, really. I could argue that none of the other players would get into a top four side at the moment.
We've got the sixth worst defence in the league.
Yeah.
And we're only four goals worse than Southampton.
Yeah.
A very poor. So our defence is terrible. I mean, like, that second half performance was just embarrassing. I mean, they just changed tactics. They started pressing as a sort of world.
They didn't do much, though, did they? They changed tactics. They just sort of.
They started pressing us, and they're just a bit more aggressive. And we just were like, oh, it was the second half performance was just pathetic, I thought. It was.
You know, when Conte sort of swanned off and said that there's no commitment from the players there, I mean, you know, I don't like managers doing that publicly, but when you saw, like you said, the second half performance the other day, you kind of got to say, well, he was right, wasn't he?
Mm.
I suppose he knows, doesn't he? He sees him up close.
Well, that's what worries me, that I don't know anything about football, because actually I thought we'd won the lottery when he came. I really did, right?
A lot of us did.
And then we are where we are now.
I didn't like the way we played under him, though.
No, great.
Even when we were winning, I didn't like it. It wasn't enjoyable football, I didn't think. But we were grinding out results.
I agree.
But it's the culture for the top to the bottom. There's not enough football people in that club, as far as I'm aware. I don't think any of the directors really have any kind of real football knowledge. They've all got great business knowledge, property knowledge, lovely stadium, etc., etc. But when you don't have football people in it, sort of, there's a disconnect. There's certainly a disconnect with the board and the fans. You could argue there's a disconnect now with the players and the fans, or a lot of them, you know. The fact that fans are jeering, you know, Sanchez this season and Royale before him, it's just, you know, lackluster. They can't even call it a lap of honour anymore. Please stay for the, what was it, a lap of appreciation from the players. The players who want to applaud you, the fans. There was hardly anyone there. And there was a game after the women's game.
Yeah, there was.
Everyone just game, yeah. up top and left. It's just a mess. And, you know, the last time I saw this kind of thing was the kind of mid-90s when we were drifting again.
Yeah.
It was an utter mess. You know, don't forget the money we're pulling up to see these games. I think you're in the premium seats. My mates have said their tickets have gone up in the premium seats. They all got a little biscuit with a cockle saying, thank you for your support.
This I've got one.
Ridiculous biscuit. It was the most ridiculous thing I've seen. It was just an individual biscuit with thanks for your support. And they're like, you're joking. This is, you're
tasted all right, though. It did taste quite nice.
Did it?
Yeah. Oh, the other thing that I was supposed to do on Saturday as well, my birthday, was meet Clive Allen, because it was his birthday.
No. Oh, wow.
And, of course, we were so late, I didn't even get to meet Clive and say, how do you feel now Haaland's overtaking you?
That's so awful. You know, yeah. But, Sean, let's talk about Harry Kane, another extraordinary goal, another 30 goals this season. What do you reckon? Do you think Levy will try and cash in, or surely they'll just make this final season a swan song? It's probably his last season, but at least we could all enjoy him for another year.
I think Levy would be mad to let him go, even if we could get 100 million, which we probably won't. Mm. I think it suits everybody if he stays. He can go on a free. He can go wherever he wants next year. We need him so bad. We could sell him for 100 million. Look at the Gareth Bale money. Do you think we'd spend that money wisely? If we sell him for 100, he's worth 200, isn't he? So there's a market value of what we can get for him, which is probably 50 million, and there's a Spurs value, which is probably 200 million, because we need his goals. And he's, do you know, I read the other day that, do you know, the person with the most assists for City is De Bruyne, and he's got 31.
Mm-hmm.
And the highest person for Spurs is Harry Kane. He's got, for Spurs, he's got 13. But that's Harry Kane. He can't convert his own assists. So if you put him in that City team, I think he would score as many goals as Haaland, maybe more. So he's so important to us. I mean, he's just, where would we be?
It's a really good point, actually, Sean, you're making there. I know it's an old cliche, but I mean, how many goals would Harry score in a decent side, you know?
Yeah.
And that City side, blimey.
This mural they put up. Surely before they commission this mural, they must know that he's staying another season. It'd be embarrassing they put this mural up and he sods off at the end of the season. It'll be just whitewashed over.
That's why I agree. If Sean, I actually think that he'll stay, because I think, why wouldn't he? I don't think there's an obvious play to go. One caveat is, if the Saudis get hold of United, I think they'll do stupid things with money, because they have got financial fair play headroom. I think they'll do it, and they might make us and him an offer he can't refuse. That said, it feels like the end days of Hoddle, like, for me, my all-time great. And he will go, he will leave, it will be coming, he will see it coming, and we'll have a very emotional day 12 months from now. But as long as he doesn't go to Chelsea, you know, I can see it being that way. I just can't see him leaving this summer. Just can't see it.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right. Let's go to a very, very quick break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about the big rumours coming out from a couple of sources today with potentially our new coach. Back in a minute. And we're back for the break. Don't forget, for premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show. Support our show, The Process. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Leave us a nice review, please, on Apple Podcasts. And never fear, next week we'll do our look back at the season. Myself, Theo Delaney, look back at all the games. And then our season 3 of Top 10 Tottenham returns. Well-known Spurs fans regale their finest Tottenham moments. We've got the author Kim Chambers, ex-communications director Simon Feldstein, Russ Williams, plenty of other great names joining us. So we'll be here every week in the pre-season. Paul, there was... I think the Mail on Sunday today, the Mail Online, I beg your pardon, Mail Online have called it and said that Tottenham, Arne Slot, who sounds like a Carry On film character, sort of Sid James, isn't he?
He does. Arne, really.
Arne Slot. they say he's going to be the next Tottenham coach. He's leaving Feyenoord. He's done an amazing job at Feyenoord. I think he was given like 15 new players this season. He's molded them. They won a canter, beating Ajax and PSV. Apparently played great, high-octane football. Do you think it's got to the stage now? We're so desperate for anyone. We'll just go, fine. Just get him in. Get him in now.
Yeah. Well, look, I didn't know the guy. I'll be honest, hands up. I didn't know anything about him, really. I knew that he was manager of Feyenoord and that they've done really well this season. Apart from that, I know nothing about him. I had a little look at him. And, you know, I mean, we're in the position now where we'll take anyone who sounds good on paper, won't we? We need some. I mean, I was even thinking, and I'm not alone, obviously, that Company was... You know, he's built a sort of mentality there, and that's what we need more than anything, rather than a tactician, I think. Mm. Somebody who can, you know, build a, you know, an ethos at the club from top to bottom, because in Mourinho, all right, he was past his best. Conte comes in, we all had high hopes of him. Those two couldn't do anything with us. I think it's got to be a root and branch, hasn't it? And I don't know, maybe this guy can come in and clear us all, because it's that old cliche. Yeah, we've got this amazing stadium, the best training facilities. Well, no kids on the street are looking at it and going, oh, I'm going to support Spurs because they've got a great stadium. And so I don't know, how are we going to appeal to the kids, you know?
Mm. I mean, Sean, it's interesting because, I mean, Paul said there about Mourinho. Mourinho's gone on now in the Europa final. Facing Aaron Lamella and Brian Hill, who combined to score the winning goal. So, again, we see managers, we see players go on. And Ndombele lifts the Italian league this season on loan.
Pochettino took Chelsea. He'll turn Chelsea round. The manager who can't win anything wins at PSG, will win at Chelsea. Just a Spurs curse, isn't it?
Isn't that terrible that we actually believed that?
Feels like it sometimes.
It's so long now, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Whoever we get in, it still seems to, you know, players with real potential. I mean, look at Sessegnon when we bought him.
Yeah.
He looks like you thought, blimey, this guy's going to be, you know, on fire. Where is he?
There's so few players in the last couple of years that have actually improved. Any of the coaches have improved them. You know, you look at the ones, you know, obviously Dele falling by the wayside. Sessegnon's never really done it. It's unbelievable. Romero, I think, has gone backwards. Dyer's gone backwards. It's incredible, the players that haven't really kind of kicked on. Sean, do you think it really matters? Are you one of these fans that thinks, while Enoch are there, you can argue they've never fully backed the managers? Or do you sort of think, you know what, They've got many, many decisions wrong, but ultimately, you know, even by luck, you can argue it was luck when they got Pochettino. I didn't know anything about Pochettino. I knew he was at Southampton. I knew he'd been come from Spaniel. Obviously, got that right. Do you just think by law of averages, they've just got to get another one right sooner or later?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I said a shambles on and off the pitch. And, you know, Ante said we're a well-run club. I mean, a shambles in terms of the football management. You know, Levy and Enoch been 23 years is a long time doing the same job. And I do think it probably is a time for a change. Or, you know, he needs to let this new guy's come in, isn't he? Scott Mund, the Australian.
Starts on July the 1st, apparently.
Yeah, so I know people who know him, and they say that he's a really good guy, a really innovative thinker. So he might, again, he's not a football man originally, but he obviously working. Not, I don't think so. No, not originally.
What's he meant to do? I'm not too sure what is the job description is.
No one does. That's the thing, isn't it? No one knows.
Well, go back to the deck.
But he
was like Paratici's boss, though, I think, wasn't he? So obviously before he went to prison or wherever he is now. I think we've got to go back to, you know, Mourinho and, you know, the other guys are kind of are like their win now managers. And we need someone to not manage the team, to manage the club and the philosophy. And so look at Brentford, you know, they're front of mind. They're all their teams from elite to academy. They all play the same style. And I think that's most clubs seem to do that now. Mm-hmm. So I think we've just got to have a more strategic long-term view. As Ante says, we don't win trophies anyway. So let's play a longer game. Look at Arsenal. You know, they could have got rid of this time last year. Arteta was ever wanting him out, but they stuck with him. And, you know, obviously they did collapse and bottle it again.
Did officially bottle it.
Yeah.
All these fans going, no. Eight points clear.
Thank you.
Eight points clear. They absolutely bottled it. I think at one stage they were 10 points clear, but I'm just going to go 8 points clear.
Yeah.
That was it. They bottled it. Southampton, like, the result, West Ham result, Liverpool result. They absolutely bottled it.
I had a big argument on my WhatsApp with all my mates, and a few of the Arsenal fans said, "Oh, we've run out of steam." I said, "Run out of steam? You've got six points out of the last 24.
Yeah, and you got knocked out of Europe in March.
Yeah, that's a collapse. But having said that, I think they've got a long-term philosophy, and I think we've got an opportunistic philosophy whereby we sign Richarlison, not because we need him, it's because Everton need to pay a lot of money very quickly and we can get him out £5 million cheaper. Do you know what I mean? So we're always, Conte's available, let's sign him. So it's rather than say, what's the philosophy? Like Gary Neville always said, Conte would not fit United because of the... the way that United play. And at the time when Conte was doing well originally at Spurs, it looked like he was an idiot, but it was totally right. And they're probably the same thing. It's, I just think you've got to be more strategic. Say, this is what we are. This is our DNA. Mm-hmm. And this is the way that we, you know, a more scientific approach to it to say, this is the type of club we are.
But the problem is, Anthony, because of way Enoch set up and Levy and business-wise, they're making lots of money and everyone who works with an Enoch and Joe Lewis must be delighted. The problem is, no one's accountable to go, look, it's a football club, although we're a multi-purpose stadium now. You've made many managerial mistakes. We haven't won a trophy in 20 years. You've got rid of the wrong manager. You haven't sold players at the right time. You haven't bought players at the wrong time. You're now having to step down. So it just never happens at Tottenham. I get all the Enoch out crowd, and I get it, and I hats off to them. They want to go and stand outside at the high road and complain. But I just think nothing's going to change until they sell it for massive money.
That's what I said to the guy next to me. The guy said to me, the guy I sit next to in the south stand, said, "Why aren't you singing Levy out chants?" I said, "What's the point?" Mm. I said, "We can make it uncomfortable for him, but the reality is there is literally no point." Also, and this might sound unpopular because I don't want to sound sympathetic to him. I think the Paratici appointment, put aside the lack of due diligence, which is criminal, right? But that was his way of saying, in my opinion, actually, I need a grown-up who understands football. And on the face of it, you know, someone who had managed one of the biggest clubs in the world, Juventus, was, I think, an admission of that, and he was going to concentrate. But let's be honest, that backfired. I think the next appointment, whatever happens, DNA of the club, right? Let's be entertained again. Let's get the fans back on side. And even if we are kind of languishing in mid-table, let's win 5-4. Let's lose 5-4. Because I think, and then let's start to see a plan and build from there. Because I don't think anyone, we must have been the most unhappiest fan base while we were fourth. I don't think there's been a fan base as unhappy as us. Because we are brought up, we're brought up on entertainment.
Yeah.
And if we're not entertained, largely, what is the point? You know, and I think if he at least gets that right, the director of football, I like the look of Schlott. Apparently, he looks like me with my bald shaved head. So
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
When I sort of looked him up, I thought,
Exactly. I'm on,
got him on the show.
Apparently, he's a machine.
I just like the fact. I like that. There's a chant in there, Sean. There's a chant in there.
I'll nick that.
I nicked it as well.
Did anyone see his interview? I thought his interview when he was put under pressure by one of the Sky journalists was he looked like he could handle a press conference.
I didn't see that.
He was very calm. He just looked the part. He sounded the part, and he didn't seem like he was going to be overawed. Then I did the classic, without saying like Danny Rose, I did the Googling, because I can't claim to know anything about him, so I sort of did it. He does seem to play quite offensive stuff, and it could be Aussie again managing us, but you know what? Just entertain me. Just give us something to hope again, and then I think the fans will get behind them. But as I say, it needs to happen quick, and we need to get a director of football in, because I don't trust this lot to appoint anyone. Mm. I really don't.
I mean, Paul was interested. Go, because
he's not that experienced, though, is he? So I looked him up on Wikipedia. So that's like Paul. I didn't hear of him 5 minutes ago. But now I'm an expert after Wikipedia. But he's only managed two clubs, hasn't he? And he's not that experienced, and he's come from the Dutch league. Obviously, Martin Jol did well for us, but there's a lot of Dutch managers who have come in the Premier League. Koeman,
De Boer in Scotland. Yeah, we were after De Boer for a long time.
But, you know, they ended up being failures. So I think it's quite high risk. But I agree with Anthony. I do like the look of him. You know, he looks like a good fit. That's all I can say.
Yeah. The thing about going back to what you said there, guys, about the DNA, we're going to go back to the DNA of Tottenham. The thing is, Paul, who in the board even knows what the DNA of Tottenham is? It's all very well them going on the DNA of Tottenham. They don't know what it was.
That's a good point, Mike. I'm glad you came back to me on that, because I'll tell you what the DNA, unfortunately, of our club is. It's one word. It's an adjective that's used to describe bottlers. Spursy. You could say Arsenal went a bit Spursy this season. You know, there's no other club that I can think of in the league that have got a label attached to them that you can apply to pretty well anything when somebody fails when they shouldn't be failing. And unfortunately for us, it's our bloody club, isn't it?
Yeah.
No. And we say the DNA of Spurs is attacking, free-flowing, beautiful football, Gascoigne, Hoddle, Waddle, Jimmy Greaves, you know, the double winning side, push and run. But really, what we are now is Spursy.
Yeah.
Dull football, and we don't win.
I mean, I worked out this season was the 50th year I went to Tottenham. And in those 50 years of going home and away, I've seen us win thing in 7 of those seasons. Mm. That's it. That's the reality. We talk about, you know, the 81 team and 82 and 84 and 91 and all the couple of League Cups. But that's it. And, you know, we're roughly of a certain age. We've all gone there, and this is what. But there's always something that made you get down to, you know, White Hart Lane. There was always something about, oh, you know, this is the first time we've gone. I don't want to go. As opposed to, come on, you never know with Tottenham. There's a chance you're going to see a great game. Oh, 4-3. Oh, it was crazy. Yeah. You always had that at Tottenham more than any other club. And you're right, Paul. There was always those players that would get you on the edge of your seat. And we've still got them in Son and Kane. And then, you know, but Son this season, brilliant, just up front with Kane, just the two of them working off each other. Stuck out on the wing, cut inside. He still scored goals that way, but most defenders knew what to do against him. And you're just like, it's not rocket science, a lot of football. Football's quite a simple game if you play it the right way. And it's just got so turgid and serious and dull. And I know a lot of people who are absolutely the first time thinking about, do I renew next season?
No, I agree.
Do I renew? Maybe I'll just get tickets off a tout or a mate might have a spare I don't know. And a lot of people I know are young kids who become Spurs members. It's like 20 odd quid. They put that up. A lot of people go, do I want another chirpy doll and another, you know, whistle or whatever it is for 20 odd quid? Oh, I don't want to give them any more money, a biscuit, you know. And that's the thing. And a lot of people, and it's really sad that you've got to think, this is your club, and you'll go, I don't want to go. It's your club, of course you've got to go. But that's what's happened to us.
United game really hammered it home, didn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of people just went, oh, that's it. That was it.
That to me was the end of the season when we lost that. That was the lowest point, and although that has got worse. But a lot of my friends are saying the same thing, Mike. But someone did say to me yesterday, I was talking to, and they went, I like going to see my family and my friends. I go, it's a fucking expensive way to see your mates, isn't it? Go to the pub for free or spend £1,000 to see them, like, you know, 18 times.
Well, I don't like my friends anyway.
It's very true. It's very true, the whole thing about.
But do you think in some ways, we're going to look back in 10 years and look at the glory days of Harry Kane and go, how do we not win some trophies? That would be the saddest thing. Like, talk about a golden generation, but, you know, golden opportunity with that player is quite sad, really.
Yeah.
So I hope he does stay. And the other depressing thing is that it's going to get harder, isn't it? You know, City are a juggernaut. They're probably going to keep winning the Premier League. And everyone else is getting stronger throughout the whole of the Premier League now. I mean, it's getting more, City aside, it's more competitive than ever, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So even those smaller clubs like Brentford, Bournemouth, Brighton, look at the mentality and the positive attitude they've all got. Mm. As you say, it's that ethos and structure within the club that's gone right through to the players, and they play with confidence. They haven't got the money that we have or City have, but they've built a mentality at those clubs. And we have to do that, don't we?
Yeah.
I think this summer is so crucial. I know we say that every summer, But the difference is the border, for the first time, I think, under real, real pressure, the stadium has insulated the Champions League or lack of Champions League money, right? They can spend if they want to. They can. And ultimately, this is a real sliding doors moment for the club. Real sliding doors moment. Do you want to compete? Do you want to now get back straight into the top four and try and win things? Because if you want to spend, they can. And all of this stuff with City and all the 114 charges and everything else, the mood music around football is about financial fair play. We've got the headroom. And I don't believe with all these NFL games, Beyonce concerts, go-karts and all the rest of it, we haven't got the money. We can spend it. Now, ultimately, are they going to do it? I think they will, because I don't think they've got any choice. I really don't think they've got any choice, and they'll end up spending a lot more than we think. But let's see.
Well, I hope
also, if you don't spend, look at Leicester. Yeah. If you don't keep up with the parities, Leicester underspent compared to everyone else, and now they could be relegated.
Well, they played as we record this show. They were at Newcastle tonight. Got to get something, and then obviously Sunday, our last game of the season, we face Sam Allardyce's Leeds United, who lost to West Ham at the weekend. So it's an absolute must-win game for Leeds. It might not be enough for Leeds, even if they do win. You look at the other games, Everton and Leicester. I think I can see all the bottom teams winning at the weekend, and it won't be enough for Leeds. We've still got this chance. Do we want eighth? Villa are playing Brighton. Brighton still need to cement their place as well in the Europa League, depending on how the FA Cup goes. So that's a big game. We could sneak seventh if we win at Elland Road. We don't win at Elland Road, we're going to finish outside Europe, the lure of the European Conference League. I just want to go back. I want to go back to some Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs. I hate this Thursday, Sunday. I just love Saturday 3 o'clock. At least we get a bit more of those. Paul, where do you sit? Do you think Tottenham have to be in Europe season in, season out? Or do you let's have a season off?
I would love us to have a season off, especially in a Mickey Mouse competition that West Ham might win.
Yeah,
we don't want to follow in their footsteps, do we?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, I'm one of those who would like to see us out of Europe next season. We've got enough to concentrate on. I'd like to see us have a real go in either of the Cups. Obviously, we're not winning the league, but it would be nice to use next season. We all know it's crucial and a make or break season. So that's what I would be very. I've also got a little bit. Don't whisper it. Of a soft spot for Leeds.
Oh really? Why is that?
Yeah, because I actually like that Revy team.
Did you?
Great. I liked Mick Jones. I liked Sniffer Clark. Mm. I liked Peter Lorimer. Eddie Gray. What a player!
Yeah.
I've still, I remember those names vividly, and I've got, and I don't really want Leicester to stay up.
I'd like to see Everton go. I think Everton have been so lucky staying up for so many seasons. And again, if they stay up, it's going to be absolutely by default again, because there's three teams worse than them.
True.
Well, we'll see. Leicester have got to get something at Newcastle, who I think are guaranteed top four now anyway. So maybe Newcastle might lay off a bit, and then Leeds and Everton are banging trouble. I mean, there's something quite amusing seeing Leicester go. I hate all of them, is what I'm basically getting at. Let them all go. Let's send four down this season. Who cares? Anthony, give us a quick prediction for Leeds. I mean, the way we're playing and all that. I mean, their defence is worse than ours. I suppose the only thing you can take from it.
I think they need to win it. And we don't. So I can't believe I'm going to say this. I can't see us getting any points out of it. And unlike Paul, I do want us to get into Europe, even though it is in the Conference League. Because I remember the season that Kane emerged. It was the Europa League when,
it was.
And then he came in. And I just think there's so many players in our squad, and these loan E players and the youth players I'd like to get a look of. That I would. That said, I can't. If I was to predict it, I could see a 2-3-0 proper defeat to us at the weekend. Because I think watching us in the second half, we played at 70%. We just didn't want to be there. The fans didn't want to be there. The players didn't want to be there. Whereas Leeds need that. And that place will be rocking. It will be absolutely rocking. I can't see us getting anything out of it. I really can't.
Well, Sean?
I agree totally with Anthony. I think that their desire, their crowd, the only way we'll win will be just Harry Kane You never know. We could score a hat-trick, but I think we'll probably lose 2-1. I think we do need to be, as much as I don't like the Conference League, we need to be in it because we have got a big squad. It does bring in more money. It probably means our transfer budget will be, they probably model it, don't they? The transfer budget's going to be slightly bigger by, you know, $5,000. if we're in the Conference League. So I think we need to be in it, even if we don't want to be in it as fans. But I can't see us getting the result there. Definitely not, just because the players seem like they've checked out.
Mm. Paul, if there's any kind of professional pride, last game, Tottenham, you know, full allocation there as well. Not the nicest places to go. It's the only place I've been attacked is at Elland Road.
Me too.
The only place, 1999, FA Cup fourth round, coming out the ground. Someone was too close to me and he smacked me across the face. Half went down. He gave the old, come on, come on. And I knew there was loads of them. Horrible place.
What were those Spurs fans, mate?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've got to whack for my own supporters. Well, you know, if you loved the 90s, you know, I had kind of quite a sort of long William Hunt Savile Row leather jacket on with a sort of...
Yeah. Fedora.
Fedora. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Henry Winterman, Slim Panatella. Yeah. I stood out like a sore thumb. Yeah. You know, that was the problem. Paul, I mean, what's your prediction? You think we can surely...
Well, I don't know. What's it? Have they got their flip-flops on? I mean, blind.
Well, they've got Bamford out. They've got Bamford and Rodrigo. Out, like they're both missing as well. And they've got no one to put the ball in the net.
But like you say, I mean, Elland Road is, as you say, is a challenging enough place to go, and they will be. I mean, they'll be screaming out up there, won't they? And it's Yorkshire, you know. So I don't hold out a lot of hope. We've already given up, haven't we? I'm just. I'd like to just draw a veil over the game, actually, pretend it's not happening, and move on to next season. And I don't want to be in any European. I understand the pragmatic view, guys. But I think it would do us a world of good to year zero, get Pol Pot back and, start again, I think.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. And also, finally, just a quick word for the women's team. They poor sods, the only one there. They beat Reading 4-1, which meant they stayed up. They've had a terrible season. 5 wins all season, but well done for them for staying up. Let's hope they still need to appoint someone and get that side of things going as well. Well done, Harry Kane, winning all the different supporters' clubs and awards. Bethany England, really good striker. She's made a big difference to the women's team. She won all the awards for the women's team. So well done for both of those. And then, Sean, they've announced this pre-season. I think it's a game in Perth, Singapore, and now Bangkok. Yes. Is it cheeky? A lost weekend in Bangkok? See Tottenham, Leicester?
Not again, Mike. Not again. it might be. I don't have the 29 bus. It comes back from Bangkok, does it?
Yeah, 29. Palmer's Green.
Yeah. So
that's through to Enfield.
Yeah, that's how I get home sometimes. 259, actually, on the way home. But I haven't seen that. I wonder if that's Scott Munn's doing, because obviously he's from Australia. So, or maybe it's to do with Son, actually. We're just milking the Son dollar for one more season, one more pre-season. I can't even think about pre-season yet, Mike. It's too soon. Let's just get a manager in first and let's relight the candle of hope. I used to be the publisher of Shoot, and they, at the start of the season, would sell the most copies. And as soon as a ball was kicked in anger, sales would plummet because you realised your team was still shit. Yeah. So wow. I used to call it the graph of hope. It'd go the more games you played during the season, the more would sales would go down as you realised your team was still shit out of the 92. So
I've still got my Shoot League ladders with the awful bits of paper. And it always used to rip Walsall by mistake. And you had to try and get them in the slot. I used to love the old Shoot. What was the official name of them? Shoot?
League Ladders.
League Ladders. They were League Ladders. Yeah. Wonderful. Fantastic. Yeah. Then the internet happened.
And that's why. That's that killed it.
There we are.
Me being in charge of it as well, that killed it as well.
Give him the Spurs job.
Exactly. What could possibly go wrong?
I remember Scoop magazine. Do you remember when Scoop came out? That was trying to be a bit, it had more sort of cartoon animation things in Scoop.
Yeah, they used to do like cartoon of goals of the season, didn't they, with Hollywood? Yeah.
And there was a North London, they had like a computer-generated game, and it was like Tottenham and Arsenal players together. It was, I'm going off a tangent. Paul, is there anything you've got coming up that might interest the listener? Anything on TV? Anything coming up?
Just more stuff with Bob Mortimer, mate, you know. Bob and I carry on going fishing. He's a little bit gutted, of course, because Borough missed out. Yes,
just missed out. They've done really well. Saying,
get Carrick, you know, like, we're not going to nick Carrick off Borough at the moment. Mm-hmm. But Bob was saying, you know, Bob's been trying to tout Carrick in our favour. And obviously, you know, he's done well in his first season with them.
Yeah.
But, more gone fishing with Bob.
Nice. Have you kind of... Are you doing the same rivers twice? Is there still enough rivers UK?
Oh, no, shh. Yeah.
Well, call it something else.
If we're going back to revisit some places,
right?
We're pretending that we're doing it, you know, to with a story in mind,
yes,
rather than we've just run out of rivers and we're going over him on ground. Thanks very much for that, Mike.
It's quite all right. I know. Oh, it's the magic of television. Sorry about that. And what about, surely there's been ideas of going, I don't know, BBC budgets, I suppose. Surely there must be some rivers around the world that you sort of, you know, you and Bob on the Yangtze or wherever. It would be unbelievable.
Yangtze. Can you imagine how polluted the Yangtze is? we did go to Norway for a Christmas special. It went down very well. But we were very conscious about trying to keep it in the UK, you know, but the Christmas special went down very well. So maybe in the future, when we've completely worn out all the rivers in this country, we'll.
Surely, Paul, with Spurs visiting Bangkok, there's a Mekong River session somewhere that needs filming over the summer.
I'm going to get away with that. I'm off to Bangkok.
But what's incredible about the show? I don't fish, but. But on terrestrial TV, the last fishing show I kind of remember was Jack Hargreaves, Out of Town in the Country.
That was
the last time I remember seeing people talk about. I mean, it's incredible how successful
John,
it's
John
been.
Wilson on Channel 4 in the sort of 90s, that was quite popular, but ours is not really about fishing, Mike. You know,
I know.
Two old idiots, isn't it, really?
Mm.
Old comedians, you know, and... It actually is quite popular, believe it or not, with people who have zero interest in fishing. In fact, I would imagine that the hardcore anglers probably think it's rubbish, you know.
Right.
Because we're not gifted enough. Bob certainly isn't.
And when you're filming certain rivers and we see snippets and then it cuts to, let's call it a day, how many hours are you actually there fishing in a day?
Well, we don't get that. We don't get as long as, you know, sort of on the more professional fishing shows would do. We get about a day and a half, you know, of actual angling time. And because we've got to talk about heart health issues and the accommodation, the food, you know, to make it, as I say, a sort of more of an all-round entertainment program.
Yeah.
So we don't get actually that long fishing. So we do all right. And we're not afraid to not catch fish because it's not just about catching fish, you know.
Yeah. Well, I see it as the next great West End musical. I'm sure someone out there can try and do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, fish.
Tim Minchin's keen to do the song.
There must be.
He'd save us, wouldn't he? Save us.
Yeah.
Fish and music gags, Skate Bush, Cod Stewart, Squid Vicious, Tuna Turner. Come on.
Pike
and Tuna Turner. Come on.
You wrote them down before.
Yes, he's got a whiteboard of all his, with his mind map on there.
He's a team of gag writers there, isn't he?
Exactly, on our budgets, yeah. Well, look, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on. It's lovely to see you all. Hopefully at home around the world, we've cheered you up slightly from the deep, deep depression that is being a Tottenham Hotspur fan. Let's hope. Well, we're back next week. Next week, me and Theo will look back at the season. God, that's going to be a tough one. It'll be a very short show next week, I think, somehow. But don't forget, we're also back with these top 10 Tottenham shows, which hopefully keep you cheerful throughout the close season. Paul, thank you so much. Lovely to see you. Looking really well.
Nice
Anthony,
you
thank
guys.
You. And
come
Sean,
on, Spurs.
Until next week, go Spurs.
Go Spurs.
Cheers.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.